He doesn't want you to exist. He wants you to live. Glory to God. Turn your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're going to prepare so everybody's listening will be prepared for Thanksgiving Day. You say, but that's over a month away. Well, we've got to change some things before Thanksgiving comes. And it might take us a little while to do it. But we're going to change some things about how we react to things and how we're letting life come at us and what we're involved in. I want to talk about Thanksgiving or the giving of thanks and being consistent with it on a daily basis. Again, turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. You got there before I did because I was too busy talking. But watch this. This is so good. Let's start in verse 16. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. How many of you ever said, but Lord, I just want to know what your will is. I just want to know what your will is. God, if you show me your will, I'll do it. We just told you. First ones, you're supposed to rejoice always. Do you know it's a choice to rejoice? Yeah. And it's not based on your circumstances. It's based on your relationship. How many of we all go through stuff? Every one of us, we could have a testimony time of just the struggles that you're going through. We're not going to do that. Right? We don't want to do that. But what we want to do, and what I want to ask you, do you really know who you're going through those struggles with? In other words, is God real to you? Because He should be. He's made Himself available to be. Right? I know people that you know, that they're just so far out there and they don't want to have anything to do with God. And it's like God's either something of somebody's imagination or He's way out there. And I used to be in the camp of God, if there is a God. I wasn't really an atheist, but I was kind of more agnostic in my thinking. But I came to the place where He made Himself real to me. Why? Because He's real. And He wants to do that to everybody. But we get into a relationship with Him, and then we base our relationship on how our life is going. If it's going good, then God's blessing us. If things are a little struggle right now, it's because God has left us or deserted us. And the reality is that's not true. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Just let me ask you a question. If we got a piece of paper out and like this, and then drew a line down the center of it, or front and back, and I ask you right now, I mean, without thinking about it, without spending a lot of time getting the right answer, I want you to put on one side or one half of the page everything that you have to complain about tonight. Everything. I mean, you know, this is wrong, that's wrong, this is wrong, I don't like this, I don't like that. And then on the other half, I'd like you to write what you're thankful for. And if we're in a situation where we can readily come up with 10 answers of what we have to complain about, and only one or two of what we're thankful for, then we haven't been doing this. Right? We haven't been doing this. He says, in everything, give thanks. What does everything mean?
Everything.
Everything. So when things are good, I'm supposed to give thanks. What am I supposed to give thanks for? And it's not like this, thanks a lot, God. My tire, you know, popped. Thanks a lot, God. Right? That's not giving thanks, right? Giving thanks is being appreciative of valuing one's response, right? So I think that even as parents, grandparents, we ought to just instill in our kids that they have to say thank you all the time. Thank you all the time. Why? Because it trains them to be thankful. Again, what do we have to be thankful for? Well, I'll just tell you that if you have nothing else and you've made Jesus the Lord of your life, and I've said this before, you can thank God that you're not going to hell. That's a big deal, by the way. That's a huge deal. Because the Bible says that we were all lost and without hope and without God and no rights to go before God. But the blood of Jesus made us right. So if you get up tomorrow and you say, I have nothing to be thankful for. My life is lousy. Right? And you got to admit, there's some days you feel like that. Get your eyes back on the one who saved you and begin to rejoice in Him. Begin to lift your hands up and say, Lord, I just want to thank you that you know me by name. Thank you, Lord, that you love me. Thank you, Lord, that you never give up on me. Thank you, Lord, that you're for me. Right? And then just look at some things that you can be thankful for. Like what? Do you know that you're not supposed to pray over your meal? You're supposed to give thanks for your meal. Now you might say that's splitting hairs, and it could be. But the reality is, are we thankful every day for the provisions that we just take for granted? Now, I've been in places, and some in the room have been in places. I'll just describe for you this. I am really grateful and thankful that God has supplied me so well, I have a working toilet. Come on, a working toilet. There was a place that the team went and was out in the middle of the boondocks in Central America. And there was a lady there that after you used the outhouse, it was her job. And she did it 10, 12 hours a day. She'd take water in a bucket into the toilet. I'm thankful, right, that I have a toilet. Why am I saying that? You see, you don't have to look very far if you're looking for something to be thankful for it, right? And so before Thanksgiving comes, I want us to practice giving thanks. And really, we're giving thanks to God for everything. Everything. You know, I've learned even that some of the things that I struggle with, if I just persevere through them, God shows me a way. He's strengthening me even in the struggle. I'm not thanking God for the trial. I'm not thanking God necessarily for the person who's making my life miserable. But I'm thanking God that He's with me in the midst of all of it. See, my focus could be completely on that person that the devil is trying to use to destroy me. And as long as you're complaining about him, even in your prayer life or her, in your prayer life, the devil's got you right where he wants you. Right? Because you're complaining. Right? And I'm not saying that you might not have some issues. I'm not saying that there aren't some things that could be better. But what I'm saying, in the midst of that, the Lord wants you to pray blessings over Him and then thank God that He's with you in the midst of what you're going through. Come on. He's with you. He's alive. He's real. I'll tell you, just today I was driving in the car and I forget where I was going, but I was on a road, and I was just aware. I'm not telling you that I had a feeling or saw angels or anything like that, but just I was just so thankful that I could talk to God in my car, and I knew that He was listening and would respond to me in everything. In everything, everything, give thanks. Go to Hebrews chapter 13. Everybody say this with me. I'm thankful to God for my salvation in Christ Jesus. Now say it again and mean it. I'm thankful to God for my salvation in Christ Jesus. Woo! Come on. Say it once, say it twice, say it 10 times. Say it if you don't have anything else. Grab a hold of that and begin to say it over and over and over again. Verse 15. Therefore, by Him, let us continually... What does continually mean? All the time. You stop it 1 second, you start it the next second. Continual motion, continually. Let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is, the fruit of our lips giving thanks to His name. Now, we read this from our Western standpoint. Okay, I'm going to praise God, and it's my sacrifice. I don't want to do it, but I'm going to do it. Right? I'm sacrificing for Jesus right now. Thank you, God. You know, I don't want to do this, God. But that's not what it's talking about. What it's talking about, in the Old Testament, in several places, it talks about where God showed up or angels showed up or super manifestations of the presence of God. They built an altar to remind them of what God did in that place. And then from generation, they'd say, well, there's where God met with Moses. There's where God met with Joshua. There's where they built an altar of remembrance. And for us, it's like, Lord, I'm going to build a remembrance in my heart. And on it, I'm going to offer thanksgiving continually. I'm remembering You in my heart. Come on. Mm-mm-mm-mm. You want to know the best way to stay depressed? Yes, we all want to know that. Stay depressed. Yeah, no. It's to continue to think about you. Right? And think how bad you have it. Right? And come up with all the reasons why it's bad. But God, I don't deserve this. Or God, that other person has it so much better than I do. It isn't fair, God. Now let me ask you, is that continually giving thanks? So is that the will of God for you? So what is the will of God for you? Continually, always, all the time, give thanks. But if you're not used to doing this, how many know that to start something new and change a direction, it takes concentrated effort to do it? If you're one who sings the blues all the time, I love the blues, by the way, you know that. I love the blues, but if your life is singing the blues, then it's going to take you a while to learn something different. Right. But I can tell you, even the blues can make you happy if it's sung as thanksgiving to God. Whew. In other words, Lord, I'm not going to miss an opportunity to give You thanks. And I am very cognizant and aware and sympathetic and empathetic with people who are going through things today. Right? And some things are tough. You lose a friend. You lose a spouse. Dear Lord, lose a child. Those are horrific things. I remember when I was young, and my Our neighbor, who was the same age as my older brother, was killed in a boating accident. And I remember my dad saying this. He said, "Bruce, how do people without God get through this stuff?" Right? And here's the bottom line, is that we have Him. And on our lips should continually be praise. Prayer without ceasing. Come on, I love that back in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. It says, pray without ceasing. What does that mean? Talk to Him all the time. Talk to Him all the time. You can talk to Him in a serious manner. But I think real prayer is when you get real with God. But you also listen to what God has to say. Right? Lord, you know my circumstances. You know what I'm going through. I need to hear from you. But I'm thanking you that you've already said that if I seek you, I'll find you. You said if I truly, honestly seek you, I'll find you. Years ago, a friend of mine, his daughter was seeking things. So Buddha, Hindu, whatever. And he was really concerned as a Christian father. And I said to him, I said, Joe, I said, if she's truly and with all of her heart seeking the truth, she's going to find it. And that truth is, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by me. So you can thank God that God knows your daughter. Right? You can thank God that He is more concerned with your daughter than you are. You can thank God that He will send laborers across your path. You can thank God that your prayers for her are being answered. Right? Even though it doesn't look like it. Even though it doesn't seem like it. Because in this situation, Joe, you need to give thanks to God for who He is. Right? So tonight, again, say it with me. Thank God. Come on. Thank God for blessing me with my relationship with Him through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Thank God. Thank you, God. Come on. Thank you, God. Let's look at some things that in Jesus' life that brought that. Go to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. Again, giving thanks, it's to be appreciative, to be grateful. How many are grateful for what you have? How many are grateful for what you have? I think Scott will remember this. Well, we were in Guatemala and we worked on an orphanage during the day and then we go out preaching at night. And we went to this church in the cornfield. And it was really literally in the middle of the cornfield, and here was this little church and had, you know, the string lights coming down and the bugs coming in from all over as dusk came. So after the service was awesome. After the service, we had some things for the pastor and his family in the van. And so we loaded him in the van and took him to his house. And we went right by this church and went right by it to his house, which was just a couple blocks from this other church. And we went into the living room. You remember this, Scott? There was one light bulb in the center of the room. His whole family was in this, and we were there, and we were giving them gifts. I am jealous for the joy that they had on their faces. And in their hearts, it was just emanating. Now listen to this pastor, just amazing. That church that was a couple blocks from his house, it was nice, it was well built, all of that. He founded that church. He built that church. He pastored that church. And then God said, I want you to go over to this other church. Now listen. that other church was two mountain ranges over, and they didn't have a vehicle. They walked back and forth on Sunday and Wednesday, and whenever they had service, they walked. But they were grateful to God for the opportunity to minister in His name, to be a servant for Him. They were grateful, and that gratefulness is what brought the joy. Come on. Thank God. Thank God. You know what? Quit watching the news and getting depressed. Right? I'm not saying you can't watch the news, but I'm saying quit it when it's bringing you down, when it's bringing you depressed. Turn it off and say, God, I thank you. It doesn't matter who wins. You're going to be with me. I don't care what happens, you're going to be with me. I don't believe that I'm going to die of COVID. I don't believe that I'm going to be affected that hard with COVID or anything like that, but I don't live my life in fear of it. But what if I did? What if it got me and it was one of those ones that wound up in the ICU and you know, they can't breathe and I'm on the ventilator and you know, pretty soon they have to turn it off. Don't weep for me, because I won't be there. I'll be there. Right? Thanks be to God who always causes me to triumph in Christ Jesus. Come on. So we have to be thankful. John chapter 6. And this is where he fed the crowd. But listen to what he said. He did in verse 10. He said, make the people sit down. Now there were much grass in the place, so the men sat down, a number of about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he'd given thanks, he distributed them, right? To the disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise to the fish, and as much as they wanted. And so when they were filled, he said to his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, so nothing is lost. Therefore they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with fragments, 5 barley loaves, which were left over by those who had eaten. What did Jesus do? God, you got to do something here. God, I don't know what I'm going to do. God, you put me in this place. I got 5,000 men. That's not even counting the women or the children. God, if you don't come through, I'm lost. No, he gave thanks. He gave thanks. How many miracles have we lost because we're complaining instead of thanking? How much peace have we given up because we're grumbling instead of rejoicing? Right? Yeah, but you don't understand what I'm going through. I know. I go through stuff too. And I don't want to get into a shouting match or an arm wrestling match about whose stuff is worse. But I want to say that the answer for me and the answer for you, as written in the will of God, is for us to be people who rejoice and pray without ceasing and give thanks continually. Thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord. 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 Go to chapter 11. Chapter 11. And look at verse 41. And this is the story of Lazarus, right? Lazarus is dead, and both Mary and Martha have come. Lord, if you'd only been here, our brother would have been saved. Oh, God, oh, God. And all the people are, complaining. And And verse 41 says, "And then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, 'Father, I thank you that you've heard me. And I know that you always hear me, but because of the people who are standing by, I said that this, that they may believe that you sent me.'" In other words, "Father, I'm thanking you that you always hear me. And I'm only saying this out loud so that those who are with me will know it." Right. Come on. When's the last time you just stopped and you just said, "God, I just thank you that you're with me. I thank you that the blood of Jesus gave me access to your heart and to your mind and to your throne room. And I don't have anything else to say but thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you." I could come here, if I had it, and give you a $1 million check, but it wouldn't be as valuable as what you already received in Christ Jesus. Come on. Are y'all getting this? Are y'all all on board with this, right? He said, "Lord, I'm thankful that you hear me." Jesus was thankful for the fish, thankful for the answer, but he's also thankful, "Lord, I'm just thankful that you hear me." So in your prayers, don't start out with, "God, I need, I want, I gotta have. Start out your prayers with, "Father, before I even pray, you know what I need. But I want to thank you in advance that you hear me. That I'm not just praying to the ceiling." Right? That this isn't an empty exercise with no benefit to me. "I just want to thank you, Lord. That when I lift my hands to you and praise you, that you hear me." Woo! Glory to God. My voice, my heart is heard in heaven. Do you believe that? Come on. That's something to be grateful for, isn't it? Go to Acts 28, the book of Acts in the 28th chapter. I think we need to learn to be more thankful. How is your Thanksgiving quotient going? Right? See, again, I want to exercise you in Thanksgiving, and we're going to talk about it for the next few weeks. You mean you can talk about Thanksgiving for 3 weeks, 4 weeks? I can. Absolutely, I can. Why? Because I need it as well as you. I want you tomorrow to be more thankful than you were today. I want you to begin to give thanks for everything that you have. Glory to God. Acts 28, verse 15. It said, let's start in verse 14. "And we found brethren and were invited to stay with them 7 days, and we went toward Rome. And from there, when the brethren heard about us, they came to meet us afar as Apria, Forum, and the Three Inns. When Paul saw them, he thanked God and took courage." He saw that God had sent some people to him, and he began to thank God for the people, and it encouraged him. Right? You know, I'm really grateful that you're here tonight. It inspires me, and it encourages me. It continues to give me hope. And what a privilege it is to be used of God to say anything that would have eternal significance to anybody else. But tonight, I'm telling you, I'm giving you a nugget that can better your life, where you'll be happier tomorrow than you were yesterday if your thanksgiving goes up. Come on, if your thanksgiving goes up. Again, we're not to be thanks, you know, once a year go, "Well, you know, Lord, it's that time. At that time, I think we're going to, you know, just stop a little bit. We're going to have some turkey. And at the dinner, We're all, you know, just going to say thank you for something. It should be an automatic thing. But our thankfulness has to be genuine, right? It can't be just a trite thing. It's like somebody who comes to you and, you know, they just give you a passing, well, thanks. Right? You know the difference from that than somebody comes to you, man, I just got to tell you how thankful that I am for what you did for me. You don't know the difference that it made in my life. I need you to know I'm really thankful for you. It's quite a difference, isn't it? Well, how's our Thanksgiving with God? Is it a thanks? Or is it born out of experience with God? And from the depth of our heart, Lord, I just need you to know that I'm so thankful that you sent Jesus to the cross and that you sent the Holy Spirit to come to me and to talk to me and to lead me to Him. Come on. Thankfulness. And you see, if you do that, there are some benefits that come out of that. Courage is one. Joy is one. Peace is one. And a knowing that it's all right. That it's going to be all right. Go to Romans chapter 1. It's just a few pages over. Y'all get something tonight? Amen. Romans chapter 1. Look at verse 8. First, I thank my God through Christ Jesus, or Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken up throughout the whole world. When's the last time you thanked God for Christians that you don't know? Man, I just want to thank God for the Christians in Mexico. I want to thank God for the Christians in China. I want to thank God for the Christians that are in Iran, that are meeting in homes with the absolute threat of being killed if they're found out. I want to thank God for you and for the faith that I've heard and the wonders that I'm seeing. I want to thank God for your testimony. Right? So Thanksgiving is about what God's doing for us, but also it's about what God's doing for others and recognizing God at work, even in our circumstances. Look at verse 20 of Romans chapter 1. It says, for since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and the Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Do you see what can happen if we don't remain thankful for who He is and what He's done? We happen to live in a most beautiful place, right? You can just drive around here, and especially different parts of the year. One of my favorite spots to look at, you might think this is strange, but the South Sound Cinema. You know, the movie house in Port Orchard, their parking lot, if on a clear day, the Olympics are off in there and in the middle of winter, you know, when it's kind of frosty and misty and there's snow in those mountains, it's just gorgeous. It's just gorgeous. Well, when we see something like that, we ought to thank God that He created that for us. That He allowed us to view it. He allowed us to be involved in it, right? Thank God that you put the stars in the place, God. Thank you, Lord, for the marvels, right? It's so good. We have to be in there where we're thanking God for anything, because if we don't thank Him as God, we can become futile in our thoughts and foolish in our hearts. In other words, if we don't see God in our daily lives, if we don't thank Him for what we have, our mind will go to such a place, and if we go there long enough, we'll be there where God is. God really real? Is God, I don't even know if you speak to me anymore. I don't even know if you my relationship with you isn't as strong as it used to be. And maybe one of the reasons is you haven't put Him at the center of everything and are thankful for His input. Glory to God. Glory to God. Ephesians chapter 1. I know we're going to a lot of scriptures. I was reading it was kind of like a church growth thing, and they said for modern day times that you should only use 3, at the most 4 scriptures. And I thought, well, I'm just old school. That just doesn't work for me. I can't quite do this. Verse 15 of Ephesians chapter 1 says, therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. When's the last time in your prayer life you really began to thank God for the people that He's put into your life, and especially those that you've heard about that have gotten saved, or have gotten help, or have gotten delivered? God, I want to thank you. We prayed for so-and-so, and the report wasn't good, but they're doing great now. God, I just want to thank you for answering that prayer. See, the heart of Him is, I want to just thank God for you. I've heard about your faith. I've heard about what you're doing for God. And I don't cease. That sounds like in everything, giving thanks, right? So it sounds like all the time, Paul was a pretty thankful guy. All right, remember, come on, say it one more time. I'm thankful that God saved me. And through the blood of Jesus, I have a relationship with Him. I'm thankful that I can come boldly before His throne of grace anytime, anywhere, and find help in my time of need. Come on, that's good. That's really good. Go to chapter 5. Chapter 5. Ephesians 5, and let's look at verse 20. You see, sometimes I think our witness as Christians get thrown off because we're just as grumbly as everybody else. There's no difference in us. We don't have a life, living relationship with God, and it's because we're not concentrating on Him and really thinking about Him. You know what Jesus said? He said this. He said, the thief comes not but for to kill, steal, and destroy. Is that what He said? But I've come. I came that you might have life and you might have it abundantly. One translation says, that you might have it to the full. I think part of the reason that we're not having the full life that we think that we should is because we're not doing what His will is. To rejoice always, to pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. In everything and always. Come on. Lord, I just thank you Now, how can you thank God when you go through something that's very painful? Midst of a divorce, how can you thank God in the midst of that? Well, some people say, well, I thank God I'm not with him anymore. Right, but no, that's not what I'm talking about. No, the pain of having your heart ripped apart, right? Or the pain and the struggle that goes with all of that. It's like, God, I'm not really happy about the struggle or even the separation, but I thank you that you're with me, and I thank you that no matter what on the other side, you said you'd cleanse me of all unrighteousness, right? You'd forgive me of any of my sins. And God, I'm just going to pursue you. Why? Because you want my life to be pleasing to you. So I'm going to give thanks, Lord, in the midst of the struggle, in the midst of the trial, in the midst of what I'm going through. Go to Colossians chapter 1. Hallelujah. See, I think we're supposed to give thanks not only for the people who are a blessing in our lives, but even the ones that are our enemies. Pastor, you're losing me right there. So far, I've been good with you, but this has just gone too far. No, really, what you're saying is, God, you asked me to bless those that curse me, bless those who despitefully use me. And Lord, I'm thankful for the opportunity to be obedient to you even in the midst of Mr. and Miss Knucklehead, right? And like this, I have found in my life that difficult people caused me to grow more than easy people. Right? Look at verse 12. It says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. If you don't have anything else to thank God about, look up this verse, circle it around, highlight it, underline it, and say, listen, He's qualified me to be a partaker of the inheritance of the saints in the light. What does that mean? That means that everything that Jesus paid the price for, I've inherited. It's mine. You know, the Bible even says, and I'll go a step further, that I'm a co-heir with Christ. What does that mean? Everything He has, I have. If I was in a person's will and there was another person and we were co-heirs, that means we split everything 50-50. But even more, it means that everything that they have belongs to both of us. Everything that Jesus inherited. How many know that Jesus is doing pretty good right now? Right, sitting at the right hand of the Father, right? Come on. I've inherited that too. So I can really, today, I can thank God. And tomorrow morning, just get this verse out and just say, Lord, I want to just thank you that you have qualified me to be a partaker of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Chapter 3. I'm just going to read a few verses and then we'll close. Verse 14 says, but above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you are called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonish one another in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. I don't think there's anything more clear than that. All things. The good, the bad, the beautiful, the not so cute things that you go through. It's like, Lord, help me to be more grateful. And over the next few weeks, we're going to talk about this and look at different scriptures that talk about thanksgiving and the art of thanksgiving. Don't miss an opportunity to thank people for helping you. Even if they're rude in doing it, thank them anyway. Right? Because God's brought them across your path, and maybe you can do something to help change their lives by beginning to become thankful. Did you get something tonight? Amen, 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 amen. Hallelujah. Let's pray and we'll close. Father, we just thank you for your word. I want to just thank you, God, tonight for your anointing. I want to thank you for the ability to be in this facility, Lord, to have the equipment that we can go on the internet and the people at home can be watching and hearing what we're doing right now. I want to thank you, Lord, for everything that you've done for us. Lord, I've seen healing in my body. I've seen blessings financially. I want to thank you for all that, but that has nothing in comparison to the fact that you saved me. That you loved me enough to send Jesus to die in my place because my ability to be right with you went out the window a long, long, long time ago. Because I'm not perfect. But God, you created us to be loved by you. And you sent Jesus to pay the price for my sin. And all I need to do is acknowledge that I need him, that I want him, and that I'm going to make him the Lord of my life. Tonight, if that's you, you've never done it before, even if you're not sure, just say, God, I want to know if you're real. Make yourself real to me and speak to me about Jesus. He will. He will. God bless you. Be blessed in Jesus' name. Amen.